My father was in the military while I was growing up, so I spent most of my youth moving. We were always moving. West Coast, East Coast, Japan, Philippines. On the average, we moved about every 16 to 18 months. And we moved a lot. Because of that, there was never much stability when it came to a permanent address for me as we were either packing, moving, or unpacking. The question, where are you from, or what's your hometown, was either a difficult answer or a lengthy one for me, as we were always moving. The record stay for me before I went away to college was 3 years. 3 years in one house. And again, because of that, there wasn't a whole lot of stability when it came to my house when I was growing up. However, I never lacked for stability when it came to my home, because I had absolutely amazing parents. Amazing parents. And my mom and my dad, they were always there for me. And they poured into me all the love and encouragement and affirmation that parents could. My junior year in college, I took a poetry class. Why are some of you chuckling? Do I not look like someone that would take a poetry class? I'm not exactly sure why I took a poetry class. I do remember there were a lot of athletes in that class with me. So that's why someone like me would take a poetry class, I guess. One of our assignments was we needed to write a poem on someone that we admired. And I wrote that poem about my dad. And I'm going to attempt to share it with you today. Dudley Lewis Carlson is how he is addressed, but for 20 years I've only known him as Dad. And as long as I can remember, he has been there for me, whether I needed him or not. He was there that first day of Little League Baseball, and he has not missed a chance to root for me since. Whether it was boys' club basketball or college football, he has been there for every ground ball, free throw, shot put measurement, and downfield block. A man who served in the Navy for 32 years, it seems as if his role as a father is more important than his rank of vice admiral. He is his son's biggest fan, and his love is there regardless of triumph or failure. He has made me the man I am today. He is my father and my hero. I love him. I am proud to have his name. Can you believe a football player wrote that? I got this back, and my English professor had written this on it. He sounds like a wonderful dad. I can see why you turned out so well. And I remember reading that as a junior and thinking, yeah, what grade did you give me? Honestly, I didn't even give it a second thought. Like, I kind of thought, like, man, that's kind of nice. Like, that's a cute thing to say. But I didn't give it a second thought. Because I thought all dads were like that. I really did. Like, I thought all dads were like that. I thought every kid had a relationship like I had with my father. I mean, I'm sure on some level I knew that not every kid did, but, you know, those were the kids they made after-school specials about, right? I mean, after all, like, I had a bunch of buddies in high school that I played football with, and you know, over the years, I saw their fathers were at every game, and after, you know, these years, my parents became friends with their parents, and we were always getting together, whether it was, you know, a function or some sort of celebration, homecoming, you know, prom or graduation. I mean, their parents were always there. Their dads were always there. So I saw among my friends a lot of guys who had relationships with their fathers, just like I had with my father. So I thought that was the norm. Then I went on to college. And again, you know, I was playing football with these guys whose fathers were always there at the games, always pouring into them. And again, over the years, like my friends' parents became friends with my parents. And we would get together, either go to dinner at away games or, you know, big events, graduation or, you know, whatever. I was seeing these guys interact with their fathers, and they seemed to have a relationship much like I had with my father. So I thought everybody had a relationship with that. Again, you know, on some level, not everybody, but, you know, those are the guys you saw in high school who smoked off, you know, off school grounds or wore denim jackets or went to concerts. You know, whatever it kind of was that you thought that those people were. But for the most part, like my friends or like people that I hung around with, I thought that was sort of the standard operating procedure is that fathers just poured into their kids. And it wasn't until years later, not long after I sort of came through the doors of Christianity, that I realized that wasn't the case. That I realized the relationship I had with my father wasn't the norm. I started meeting with this group of guys. We were going through this book at the time that was really big. It was sort of like required reading for guys that went to church. And it dealt with the father-son relationship. And since I went to church, I felt required to read it. So I was reading it, and I was in this group with a bunch of other guys. And the first night, one of the guys says, the leader, hey, man, let's go around the room here, and we're just going to share with everybody the relationship we have with our fathers. And I'm thinking, boy, this would be pretty cool. This would be a two-hour brag fest about our dads. Well, the first guy starts in, and he gets about 30 seconds in. And he has to keep stopping because he's getting so emotional. And he starts talking about how this relationship with his father was nothing like the relationship I had with my father. And he started talking about how fractured this relationship was. And as we continued to go around the room, these guys were sharing about how they had relationships with their fathers, again, that were nothing like the relationship I had with my father. And I sat there and I realized for the first time that the relationship I had with my dad wasn't the norm. It was by far the exception. And as we went around this room, some of these guys were sharing about how this relationship with their father, as tough and as hard and as disappointing as it was, they were seeing it lived out in their lives as much as they tried to avoid it. And not only in their lives, but in the relationships that they had. And what these guys were basically sharing is while they had been able to isolate themselves sometimes from their father, they hadn't been able to insulate themselves from the impact of their father. And as these guys were sharing this, I started to realize that, yeah, you know, the relationship that I had with my dad, I was starting to see the impact that it had had on my life, on who I was, on who I had, and who I would become. And at the same time, I also started to see that it was being lived out in my relationships, in all of my relationships, with my coworkers, family, friends, my boss, neighbors, wife, and one day my kids. Why is that? Because all children bear the fingerprints of their father. All children bear the fingerprints of their father. Good, bad, or indifferent. And while many of this room can say that, you know, we've been able to isolate ourselves maybe from a bad relationship with our fathers, we haven't been able to insulate ourselves from them. And we've seen many of the things that were constant in the relationship between us and our fathers living themselves not only in our lives, but in our relationships as well. Because every child bears the fingerprints of his father. Good, bad, or indifferent. And while it had been 20 years since my English professor had written, "I can see why you turned out so well" on my poetry assignment, I finally realized what she had been saying. I have a pretty good idea of who your father is because I've seen you. She could make a judgment on who my father was because she could see his fingerprints all over me. And not only was I seeing it in my life, and in the relationships that I had, I was starting to see it in the smallest things in my life. When I was a teenager, my dad was usually on his way out the door when I was getting up and getting ready for school. So we didn't have the opportunity to have breakfast together as a family during the week. However, on the weekends, it was sort of a big deal for us to get together and have breakfast as a family. And as a teenager, I can remember being completely irritated by the way my father drank his coffee. Now, I know that most things parents do irritate their teenagers, but the way my father would drink his coffee is he would fill it almost to the brim, and so he couldn't tilt it toward him or he'd spill it on himself. So what my dad would do is he would pick it straight up, and then he would lean forward and make a noise like this. That's annoying, isn't it? Yeah, and you just heard it once. I had to hear it every weekend. Well, about 10 years ago, I'm standing in my kitchen. How do you know where I'm going with this? With a cup of coffee that's filled to the brim, realizing that I can't tilt it toward myself to drink it, otherwise I'd spill it all over myself, I lean forward and I hear this noise in my house that sounds just like this. And I had to laugh. And I'm thinking, how'd that happen? Like, how did something that irritated me about my father as a teenager make its way into my life? Because all children bear the fingerprints of their father. And at that moment, I had to admit that if the way my father drank his coffee that irritated me as a teenager was able to make it into my life, then anything my father did, good, bad, or indifferent, had the ability to make its way into my life. And again, not only into my life, but into the relationships that I had. Early this year, my son is 5. He got on this kick where he would start every statement he had with, "I think." So I'd come in and he'd be finishing up lunch, and I was like, "Hey, buddy, what'd you have for lunch?" "I think I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich." I'm like, "You think? What's that on your hands?" "I think it's peanut butter and jelly." "Okay, well, how do you think you got that on your hands?" "I think I got it on there eating lunch." "All right, then what were you eating for lunch?" "I think I was eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich." Now, that's cute and funny, like in a small dose. But let me tell you, things got pretty tense in the house when every statement started with, "I think." And we were at this party this one night for a friend of mine's child, and my son comes over to me and he says, "Hey, Dad, can I have some cake?" And they had been outside playing, and I said, "Sure, buddy, just go wash your hands." So I'm sitting there, and I can watch him walk into the bathroom, wash his hands, dry him on the towel a little bit, come walking back down the hallway and say to me, "Hey, can I have some cake now?" I said, "Did you wash your hands?" He said, "I think so." I said, "Buddy, come here for a second." So I take his hand, I go, "Your hand is wet. Did you just wash your hands?" "I think I did." I said, "Nicholas, listen to me. I know you are a smart boy because you take after your mother. And I know that you know you just washed your hands. I'm going to ask you again, did you wash your hands?" "I think I did." I stand up, I take him into the office of my friend's house, and I sit down in the chair and I look him dead in the eye. I go, "Nicholas, we're going to do this one more time because I know you are a smart boy. And I know you washed your hands. And if I ask you and you say, 'I think,' you are not going to have any cake. Did you wash your hands?" And he starts crying. Oh, like I'm the bad guy now, right? Rest assured, he did get cake that night. But I'm sharing this with the Starting Point group that I meet on Sundays the next day, and I'm sharing this, and I said, "Man, this kid was committed. Like, he was going to go without cake, and he still wanted to stick with the 'I think.' I can't believe he's that stubborn." The guy looks at me and goes, "He is your kid, right?" And I said, "What are you trying to say?" He said, "Well, wouldn't you say you're stubborn?" I was like, "I think I am." But again, he's 5, right? He's 5. And you can already see the fingerprints of his father, me, on him. Even though he's completely unaware of it, the fingerprints of his father are all over him. And in that exact same way, the fingerprints of our fathers, good, bad, or indifferent, are all over us. And while many of us right now can point to things in our lives that we can see are being lived out in our lives and also in the relationships we have, many of us probably wonder, how in the world did this happen? I always said this would never happen. And what we found is while we have been able to isolate ourselves potentially from a bad relationship with a father, we haven't been able to insulate ourselves. Because every child bears the fingerprints of his father. But what if that's the way it was supposed to be? Like, what if it was meant to be that way? I don't mean the bad stuff. I mean, what if we were created to bear the fingerprints of our Father? And that those fingerprints were meant to be good, so that the fingerprints that we pass on would be good as well. What if that's the way it was meant to be, and that the bad stuff, the tragic stuff, wasn't supposed to be that way? Because if that's the case, if that's the way it was meant to be, but those fingerprints were meant to be good, then that gives us all in this room a lot of freedom. If those fingerprints were good, then we can rejoice and we can give thanks that our fathers did it the way it was supposed to be. And if they weren't good, if they were tragic, then we would have the freedom to drop the guilt and shame and proclaim what we've always known. That ain't the way it was supposed to be. That ain't the way it was supposed to be. Well, if you brought your Bibles, join me in John chapter 14, fourth book of the New Testament, John 14. We'll be starting in verse 1. To understand sort of what's going on here, this is the Lord's Supper, the last Passover that he's having with his guys. Back in chapter 13, he sort of alluded to the fact of what's going to be happening, and he actually says in verse 33, I am with you a little while longer. And this sort of throws the disciples off, and they're kind of asking, like, where are you going? Like, we're your disciples. We want to go with you. And he says in 36, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. So we open up in chapter 14, verse 1. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus was saying, you know my Father and you've seen him because you've seen me. That's the way it was supposed to be. That's the way it was supposed to be. People were supposed to be able to see our Father when they see us. The fingerprints of the Father were meant to be all over us. That was the design. I mean, if you go all the way back to the beginning of this book, Genesis 1 verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We were meant to bear the fingerprints of the Father. In that exact same image of the Father and Son, where a son can say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's the image we were created in. But those fingerprints were meant to be good. And if they're bad, then that violates God's design. And if something violates God's design, there are going to be some negative consequences with that. As much as we tried to avoid them or run from them or isolate ourselves from them, there will be some negative consequences with that. Yet too often, I think we view that relationship with our fathers as just a standalone relationship. That the consequences that we've tried to run from are just sort of a one-off. But when we come to the point that we can understand that we are truly impacted and our relationships will forever be impacted by the fingerprints of our Father, then we have to understand that our fathers were impacted and were changed by the relationships put by the relationship with their father, the fingerprints that their father left on them. And if there's still an opportunity and the relationship is there, I would strongly encourage everybody in this room to spend some time with your father this Father's Day, or call your father this Father's Day, or write your father this Father's Day, and ask for him to share with you the relationship he had with his father. And I bet what you will find when he starts to explain to you the relationship that he had with his father, it may sound very similar to the relationship you have with your father. And when he does that, listen, because what you will hear will not be the voice of your father. It will be the voice of a 10-year-old little boy, it explaining to you about the impact that his father had on him. Every child bears the fingerprints of his father, good, bad, or indifferent. 6 years ago this weekend, I encouraged the men of Fuel to do exactly what I just encouraged all of us to do, to spend some time with our fathers and ask them about the relationships they had with their fathers. Now, I had done this a number of times with my father, but I went down and I spent the weekend with him. And I asked him to share with me some more stories about the father he had with his grandfather. My dad's father was completely checked out on him. Completely checked out. My father used to say, my dad was around, but that was about it. And my dad shared this story one time when he was a junior in college, and he needed some books for school. He needed $20. So he borrowed $20 from his dad, and as his dad pulled the $20 bill out of his billfold, he handed it to my dad and said, "Now make sure you pay me back." My dad was working a couple jobs to work his way through college, and after he had saved up the $20, he gave it back to my grandfather. The next year, his senior year, he needed another $20, and he went and he borrowed the $20 from my grandfather, and after he'd saved up $20, he went to pay him back, and my grandfather said, "You know what? You keep it." My dad said, $20. It's all my dad ever gave me. And many, many years later, as my grandfather laid on his deathbed, my dad sat right next to him, and my grandfather reached over and took my father's hand and said, "I wish I would have done more for you." And I was spending the weekend with my father, and I remember we were standing in the Acme parking lot in Standardsville, Virginia. And I said to him, "Dad, years from now, should we find ourselves in that exact same situation, let me tell you this. You will not be able to say those words to me. Because you couldn't have done more." And with that, I reached out and I hugged my dad. And we stood in that parking lot and we just cried. They must have thought we were insane. They must have absolutely thought we were insane. But you know what? God is so amazing. God is so amazing, because that was the last Father's Day I ever spent with my father, because he passed away 4 months later. But I had that opportunity to say those words to my dad, to spend that time with him, to spend that time with the father and tell him that he was the father I couldn't have wanted more. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. That a father's fingerprints on us are all good, because every child bears the fingerprints of his father, good, bad, or indifferent, but they were meant to be good. And the way my dad did it, that's the way it was meant to be. He broke the cycle. And while the fingerprints that were put on him were not good, the ones he put on me were. And he broke that cycle. He may not have gotten the dad he wanted, but he became the dad he wanted. And every man in this room has the exact same opportunity. You may not have gotten the father you wanted, but you can be the father you wanted. And then in that exact same way, my father-in-law did not get the father he deserved. As my father-in-law somewhere along the way realized, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. This father and son relationship isn't the way it's supposed to be. And he, just like my father, broke the cycle. And instead of being the father he had and leaving negative fingerprints on their child, he broke that cycle and became the father he wanted to be and left positive fingerprints on his child. And he poured into his daughter all the love and affirmation that a father could and should. So that by the time she ran into this clown, she wasn't looking to me for approval or affirmation. And it was so drastically different than anything I had seen before. I married her. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. That is the way it's supposed to be. That was God's design. Because there is a heavenly father of love and patience and mercy that wants our fingerprints, that wants his fingerprints all over us. And that's part of what Jesus was saying when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know my Father is loving because I'm loving. And you know my Father is involved because I'm involved. And you know my Father is merciful because I'm merciful. And the list goes on and on and on of all these positive attributes that Jesus was assigning to his Father because they had been assigned to him. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. But that initial relationship with us and that perfect Father was severed because of sin in our lives. And that's why some of individuals who sit in here today have negative fingerprints all over them that see them being lived out in their lives now, in their relationships now. That wasn't the way it was supposed to be. But that relationship with that perfect father was severed. But he did something about it. He broke the cycle, just like fathers can. And he sent his son, the one who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, into this world to live a perfect life, a life we could never live, a life that was required to have a perfect relationship with a perfect father. God knew we could never do that. So he sent his son to do that. And then he sent his son to the cross to pay the price for the sin in our lives. Then he rose from the dead, showing us that that sacrifice was acceptable and that all we need to do is put our faith in him and him alone, our trust in him alone. And not only will we receive eternal life, but we will become children of God. In his letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul said, now that we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And his Spirit tells us that God is our Father. You are no longer slaves. Meaning you're no longer slaves to the way it wasn't supposed to be. You're no longer slaves to those negative fingerprints. You are God's children. And you will be given what he has promised. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. And just as God sent his Son into this world to break that cycle, men, we have the exact same opportunity. We can break that cycle. And instead of being the fathers we had, we can be the fathers we wanted. And because two men, my father and my father-in-law, broke that cycle, instead of putting the negative fingerprints that they received from their fathers onto my wife and I, they put positive ones on us. And not only did that drastically change our lives, it changed the lives of our children. And it has the potential to change the lives of our children's children because they will grow up understanding this is the way it's supposed to be. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. And every man in this room has that exact same opportunity. While you may not have gotten the father you wanted, you can become the father you wanted. And many men may ask, well, how do I do that? Because it wasn't modeled for me. Three words, gentlemen. Time, talk, and tell. Time, talk, and tell. Just spend time with your kids and realize it's never too late. Just spend time with them. Whatever they want to do. Go on a walk. Go on a hike. Go on vacation. Take a day off. Go on a trip. I mean, just do something. Just spend time with them. It doesn't matter so much what you do, but that you're doing it with them. And when you're doing it with them, be present. Don't talk to anyone else or text anyone else. Just spend time with your kids. Talk. Just talk to them. And again, don't talk to other people or text other people. Talk to your kids. Find out their likes, their dislikes, their friends, their dreams, their fears, their challenges. Whatever. Just talk. You know, the Bible tells us that the glory of children are their fathers. Kids want to talk to their dads and tell them you love them. Maybe tell them you're sorry. Tell them you're proud of them. Tell them what your dad was like. That's it. Time, talk, and tell. And imagine years from now, what this congregation would look like if all of the men became the fathers they had wanted, not the fathers they had. Imagine the health of our children and our children's children. And not only the health of them, but every relationship that they had. We have the opportunity to do that, gentlemen. We have the opportunity to do that. And when we do that, and we break that cycle, and we pour into them all that we should, imagine we would give our children and our children's children the opportunity to one day say with pride, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what an awesome responsibility you have given us as fathers. And Lord, we come before you today realizing that many of us bear the fingerprints of fathers, not as you had intended it to be. And yet we know you are a perfect Father. Lord, let us look to you to be the example of what a father should be like. All patient, all merciful, all loving. And let us model that. Let those be the fingerprints we put on our children. So that one day, again, they could say with pride, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. In Jesus' name, we ask all of this. Amen.